We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
Frank Ferry, tell us, why are you running for lieutenant governor?
Well, I believe we need someone in government who lives the challenges of our tough economy right now. I live it every day, you know, and we need somebody who will lead on the issues that Rhode Islanders all care about. Rebuilding the economy, making sure we're creating jobs, making sure families and businesses have access to quality and affordable health care. Standing up for most vulnerable citizens, especially seniors and those who lack a voice in government. I want to be a trusted resource where people can go to when they feel that government has let them down. That's why I'm running.
Those sound like nice ideals, but let's get some more specifics. If you're elected governor, what would you specifically do to try and create more jobs and improve the economy?
Well, the office chairs a council on small business. I have 30 years of small business experience. I know what small businesses and workers need. And I will take that experience to this public office and work with coalitions, work with businesses, and develop programs and guide, be a liaison with the General Assembly and work as a partner with the governor to an end that moves our economy forward.
Let's go to Scott.
You know, business is not a monolithic community, and I'm wondering here, you talk to certain businesses, they say, well, it's the property tax we have to lower. Some say the sales tax. Others say, no, we need much better, lower corporate taxes. Now, specifically, what do you think you can do to move the business climate in the right direction?
Well, one of the things I believe is that we don't come up with comprehensive plans. Okay. We want to cut a tax. We want to, you know, revenue here. That's why I'm eager to get into this office, because we can bring all those parties together and we can work on a plan. I look to create a long-term plan.
Well, that's fine to say, but right now, what would you do in this session of the General Assembly to jumpstart the business climate in this state?
Well, right now, I mean, I know the leadership is talking about cutting the corporate tax.
Is that a good idea?
It may be a good idea if we know how it's going to affect everything else we're doing. And maybe that's good, but maybe we should cut it gradually instead of just losing a lot of revenue.
Rhode Island is facing tens of millions of dollars in unanticipated costs for Medicaid. Do you think Rhode Island can really afford to sustain the health care exchange, also known as Rhode Island's version of Obamacare?
I definitely believe that we should keep the health care exchange in Rhode Island. Like I said, HealthSource Rhode Island is one of the best health care exchanges in the country. It's ranked among the top exchanges for individual coverage and for small business coverages. It's expanding coverage plans. It's actually, we're going to have, next year I hear, we're going to have some lower cost plans than we had this year. We're on the right course with this healthcare exchange. I believe that we have to achieve more with it, and we can do that.
You're one of three Democrats running for lieutenant governor, along with Ralph Mollis and Dan McKee. How do you see your path to victory in this race?
When I first ran for office, I didn't expect to run. I was an underdog. I worked very hard at that campaign. I won my primary and my general election. I had two opponents in each, and I won with more than 50% of the vote. Marriage equality. No one thought we could win. I took that on and worked hard on that. It took some time, but we won that. I'm just very excited about this race right now. And I announced at the showcase, the Democratic showcase, less than a week later, I've just received my first endorsement from the Newport Democratic City Committee.
So it sounds like you're saying because things have worked out well for you in the past, you think the same thing will happen this time?
Well, you have to have someone who cares about what they're doing, cares about Rhode Island, cares about business, cares about its people. And I am that leader to do that.
Big issue in this state's been education, as you know. What do you think of high-stakes testing, the NECAP, and the requirement that students have to pass that to get a high school diploma?
NECAP was never developed to be a high-stakes test. And I've researched this for a long time. I've talked to a lot of people who were involved in that development of NECAP. It just wasn't for high-stakes testing, and I don't agree with it.
Ralph Mollis has executive experience from two terms as Secretary of State. Dan McKee, executive experience as Mayor of Cumberland. You've been part of a legislative body. Why are you the better choice than Mollis or McKee?
I'm running on my experience as business. I'm running my experience of 7 years that I've been at the State House. I've developed many professional relationships with the different associations, different colleagues. I have a good, I have a reputation of being able to bring people together and to working with coalitions. All my colleagues are my friends. All my colleagues I can work with. And I think that's what I can bring to the office and to government.
We're talking here with Lieutenant Governor candidate Frank Ferry. And now back to Scott.
Just wondering, should we raise the minimum wage in Rhode Island?
I believe that the minimum wage should be raised. I'm a small business person. I pay more than the minimum wage. There's such an income inequity right now that I have no problem with raising it.
Where would you set it? What do you think is a good threshold to set it at?
And do you support the proposed $15 minimum wage for hotel workers in Providence?
I support raising the minimum wage. I mean, where that should be right now, there's a proposal for $9 at the Senate. I'll support that. And someone who I've traveled a lot. I see hotel workers. I know how hard they work. And to say that they're not making $15 an hour, I think that's a miss. I don't like that. I think that it should be higher.
You think so? You support the $15 proposal?
I would support $15.
Just wondering, as far as the state budget, you're going to have to vote on this proposal. You're still in the House of Representatives. What is the good, the bad, and the ugly that's in the state budget at this point?
Well, I haven't seen the final budget yet. I only know what I've heard of what they want to do.
Is the leadership being transparent enough with you folks in the rank and file?
They have. We've caucused. We've talked about it. We've given our ideas. It's about negotiation too, because the House has to negotiate with the Senate, with the governor. So we're not sure everything that's in there.
It seemed like you were close with former House Speaker Gordon Fox. What was your reaction to the March 21st raid that focused on his home and state house office and triggered his resignation?
I was as shocked as everybody else was. I didn't know what to make of it.
Do you know what to make of it now?
No, I don't.
Just wondering, and the environmental aspect here, is climate change real or not? What do you think?
I think there's enough scientific evidence that it's real.
What can a state do, do you think?
A state can work with state coalitions, and there's many things on the table. Senator Whitehouse has been a leader in this, and we're doing a lot of work in the House.
In one of your releases, you talk about the need for elected officials to speak truth to power when government isn't acting in the public interest. Can you point to some examples in which you've done that?
Just by the comments that I get from going around and talking to people about my candidacy for lieutenant governor, I get feedback that I have integrity, I'm in it for the right reason, and I speak from the heart.
Why do you think the master levers become such a big issue? I've never seen anything that really is not that significant take on this kind of traction.
I voted for the elimination of the master lever.
Why?
Why? Because I think people should have an individual choice, and also because actually there's a problem with it right now. It used to be an actual lever.
Yes.
And then if you wanted to vote for an alternate candidate in a different party, you could, and it wouldn't eliminate everybody else. But now the way people have to draw a line, if they draw a line for the master lever and then try to choose somebody on the other side, it disqualifies the whole ballot.
What kind of mark do you give to Nicholas Mattiello on the job that he's doing as House Speaker since taking over from Gordon Fox?
I give him a very high mark for wanting to bring people in and to listening. He made a policy that if you asked for an appointment with him, he'd make it in 3 days, and he stuck to that. And
so you're saying he's been transparent?
He's been transparent.
All right, we're out of time, so we're going to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And Warwick State Representative Frank Ferry, a Democratic candidate for Lieutenant Governor. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.